Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Coat. Josh Coat. Hello, Miss Moneypenny.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Miss Moneypenny. What is her name? Moneypenny or Moneypenny? Moneypenny.
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 I was waiting for Sean Connery to make an appearance.
Yeah. I'm just a Sean Connery fan. I don't care if it's Bond or not.
That
guy's amazing.
I mean, I like Sean Connery too. I like Sean Connery too. He was a great actor.
We actually do voiceovers of Sean Connery for every movie, like Spurs, The Final Frontier.
Yeah. If you can put any voice, it's either Sean Connery or Sam Elliott. Could you imagine Sam Elliott and Sean Connery doing like a famous scene? Pick a scene, any scene.
Luke Skywalker or something, you know.
If you only knew the power of the dark side. Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No, I am your father.
Oh, no.
No. No. That's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No.
Sean Connery is my second favorite James Bond.
Oh! And Daniel Craig is your first
Craig is my first favorite James Bond.
That's the lady's choice.
What? I really like Daniel Craig. I'm not
a
lady.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's probably the best James Bond.
It's his face. It's his face. He's got that. His top lip is a little longer than the bottom one. And it just kind of droops over.
Oh, stop talking!
And that just makes him look
weird.
Really.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
Yeah.
All right.
You got your own little bromance going over there.
My least favorite is Roger Moore.
What?
No. You did that on purpose. You did too. Because you know that Roger Moore is my man.
No.
Roger Moore is James Bond to me because that's the James Bond I grew up on.
Yeah.
So when I think about James Bond, I see Roger Moore. Hmm. And I see his top lip.
I see Sean Connery followed by Daniel Craig. My least favorite is Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, really?
Remington Steele. Yeah, I never liked that show. So that ruined his character for me.
You know, I wonder what it's like to be an actor and to be asked to take on James Bond and know that you could completely suck at it.
Well, here's the interesting thing about Pierce Brosnan is I really liked Remington Steele. And thought he would be a great James Bond. He was actually offered it before Timothy Dalton, but he was caught up in contracts and wasn't able to do it. And then finally, when he was released from his contracts, he did it and didn't quite do it very well.
Actually, okay. I don't really know who my least favorite is because
Timothy Dalton, that's everyone's least favorite.
Yeah, Timothy Dalton. I don't think I've ever seen a Timothy Dalton James Bond.
Oh.
Mm-mm. Does anybody know how they audition for James Bond? Like, how do you audition for
you
the
have
most
to say,
epic?
Hello, Miss Moneypenny.
The most epic part in film history. Like, I don't know what the qualifications are. Maybe I want to be a James Bond.
I think the first qualification.
I'll be the first bearded Bond.
Is you have to be British.
Yeah, you have to be British. Pierce Brosnan was too pretty to be James Bond. He was too, like, willowy, and he wasn't tough, and there was no enigma to him.
Didn't have any scars.
Yeah. Like, if you punched him in the face, it might ruin his day, you know?
So who would be the next James Bond? Daniel Craig's up in years.
Oh, let's play that game, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, he's in his mid-50s, probably.
He's got one more,
late
40s, right?
He's late
40s. Late 40s, yeah.
Let's see. So who's after Daniel Craig? I don't know very many British.
I'll tell you what, that kid that was in Jack the Giant, Slayer, I think, could mature into a pretty decent James Bond.
What was his name? I saw that movie, but I don't remember.
I don't know, but he's kind of got the look.
I think if the guy who does Thor was British, he could do it.
Australian is British. They're just Southern Brits. They're just Southern Brits.
They're Southern Brits.
What about Texans?
What about one of the guys from Downton Abbey?
One of the guys from Downton Abbey?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know. Maybe what's her name's husband?
Clearly, you watch this show a lot.
Okay.
It couldn't be
Clint
Matthew.
Clint is just thinking about the only British show he knows about.
You think Matthew Crawley could translate to James Bond?
Matthew Crawley.
He's pretty austere.
I don't know. He is austere.
Matthew Crawley.
He's a little pretty, though.
He left the show to not be famous.
That guy's soft, bro.
Yeah. If you could combine
James Bond's got to be
Matthew and Tom's gritty, characters,
pretty and gritty,
then it might work.
But he's got a secrecy to him that could work for MI6.
I think that this conversation has gone off a cliff because Matthew Crawley is not James Bond.
All right, I tried to fit in, guys. I'm sorry that you won't accept me.
Well, we do accept you. We just don't accept the only British guy that you could think of. All right. Today on the program, we are going to be diving into a really great subject. Living well. What is the state of our church's health and the church as a whole? Not just individual gathering places, but what is the body's health like? How do we assess it? How do we get the immune system kicking? And how do we keep our individual members strong? We're going to be sitting down with Stephen Duncan and talking a little bit with him about how they're going to be doing this with the Worship Coalition a little bit later in the show. That topic when we come back.
I am Son of Heaven. I am the apple of God's eye. I'm strong and I am powerful. God planned me before the foundations of the world. He spoke me into existence. God started my story, and He will finish it. I was created with heaven's destiny. I was made to change the world. With God, there is nothing that is impossible for me. I look just like my daddy.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Have you found your community?
I have.
Have you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have too.
Oh, yeah.
We say it all the time, get into community and start taking world-changing risks together. And we're going to be talking about this topic next week with our good friend Kit Henry. Mm-hmm. Had him on about 6 weeks ago, and he just always blesses our socks off. We had him in town for an event, and he always brings that spirit of worship and intercession with him. We're going to be talking a little bit about how this is happening in his neck of the woods, St. Louis area. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's been happening here for a couple of years, a little over that. Stewarding the move of equipping the body of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in small, intimate communities. So that coming up next week. Today, we are discussing the topic of living well.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, Haley, when we moved back to this area from Kansas City a few years ago, and we said one of our main goals was just to live well? And that began a journey for us of what does healthy living look like, which kind of crosses the church line, too, for us, since we're so involved in church, been church leaders, and you know, what does healthy church look like? And then we start asking ourselves, well, what does healthy community look like? Well, what does healthy relationships look like? And we began to kind of see just from our past, you know, different relationships, different situations in different communities where it was like, ooh, that was a little icky. You know, those situations, ever been a little icky situation?
That wasn't quite healthy.
So we just decided to become our own health experts as far as living life well in community with others. And of course, as people who love and follow Jesus and are filled with Him, man, we're going to do it with power and we're going to do it with life that heaven so abundantly gives us. So living well, what an amazing topic.
Well, if there is one thing that I could probably spend the rest of my life doing, that would be it, would be trying to walk out daily how to have healthy relationships, how to be in healthy community, how to be in healthy family, you know, and in our marriage and our children and the people around us. And I want to tell you guys that the other day I was out in the marketplace and I was at a counter and, you know, someone was helping me and there was a person next to me being helped by someone and they were having their own little conversation. And the lady next to me said something about so-and-so who's all like so Christian all the time, but her life is just falling apart. And I was like, oh my goodness, what a thing about the state of a lot of people's lives is that, you know, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should be the opposite of that. We should be the ones leading the charge in healthy community. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit like, it took my breath away, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that may be a result of probably one of the biggest detriments of Western culture, and that is compartmentalization. Mm. We tend to compartmentalize everything, our job, our family, our church, our lifestyle, our habits, and everything is so compartmentalized that we can look at it individually and say, well, that's not really my life. That's just a part of my life. And I love the perspective that you brought to the table right out of the gate, Clint, where you guys decided we're going to live life healthy all the way around. And what does that look like? Mm-hmm. Everything that we do. And I think we fall into a little bit of a maybe miscommunication of sorts whenever people try to figure out what it is that Next Gen Worship does. Mm-hmm. Because we don't compartmentalize very well.
Right.
No, we just do it all together. It's one big old, just whatever God says do, we just do it. And it's all part of each other. Mm-hmm. I think that's where Holy Spirit's calling us, is to stop compartmentalizing. And it really causes us to be quite vulnerable.
Yeah, that's a great word, vulnerable, because when you say I'm going to start living well, that means that my inside world is going to have to get healthy. And in order for that to happen, number one, there has to be some real truths established. And today's church and the teaching we have is done very good at establishing some incredible truths that revolutionize people's inside world. Now, whether they believe on that or act on that, that's their responsibility. But getting your inside world healthy. And not only that, let's say it this way, taking responsibility for your inside world. You know, the world nobody knows about, the one where all the thoughts run through your head, the one where all of the emotions happen, all the responses that, you know, when somebody cuts you off or when somebody says something to you at church that was really hurtful and then you hold bitterness against them for the next 7 years, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's just taking responsibility for your own life and your own health is like step number one to growing up. You know, it's and that's what we don't have a lot of. I mean, we've got some great leaders in the church, but a lot of people who are sitting in the pews, we don't see them stepping up into that. And that's one of the big differences with us, Josh, is we are actually empowering people to take responsibility, trying our best to demonstrate that, but also conveying the most critical truths to see the inside world transformed, which have to do with identity, which have to do with your view of sin, frankly, and have to do with your relationships with other people. Those three areas are some of the first ones that come to my mind when we're coaching and training people in the presence of God on how to transform your inside world. And we know that when your inside world gets big enough and healthy enough, it's a natural product that the outside world around you will begin to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is such an important thing in the church that as leaders, we aren't just giving people answers to their problems or advice on how to live or even rules to follow or teaching, but that we are actually empowering them to take hold of their life with Jesus, to partner with him, and then to move forward in the plan that God has for them.
Well, it's the simplicity of the gospel. It is the fact that Jesus has done it. The finished work of the cross, he's already done everything that's required for us to be filled with him and to be blameless without a single fault standing before the Father already. We don't have to get there. We don't have to get better. We don't have to have course correction.
Yeah.
We just need to be transformed. We need to look like him. And that requires us to actually have a relationship with him. You know, we got to get into our secret place with Jesus and we got to hear what he's saying. We got to hear what Holy Spirit is directing us to do. Like we talked about last week, being intimate. It's really the secret sauce, like you like to say, Clint.
The secret sauce,
it's the secret sauce to living well.
Yeah.
It is a healthy lifestyle. It'll pour out of you. Like from your bellies will flow rivers of living water. It's so profound. It's so true. It's so simple.
Yeah. I heard someone say recently that God is not responsible for our potential, that we are. Even more so when you put yourself in community. And community is a great way. If you don't have a community, if you don't know who your community is, this is critical in getting healthy, because if you're an isolator or if you've cut yourself off from the rest of the world, You cannot get mature. You cannot grow in isolation. You have to get inside the body of Christ, the organism of the body of Christ. You have to get in community. You have to start relating and being accountable in a good way for your potential with other people. People that see the kingdom things in you can call them out. So potential is huge, because maybe most people have discounted the fact that they have potential. They've kind of just, you know, I'm the worm thing. But potential and community kind of go hand in hand with transforming your inner world, getting hope alive, getting your prophetic destiny kind of awakened again, understanding what you were created for and who you're created to be.
I'd like to spin on that. God is responsible for our potential. We're responsible to get there.
Yeah.
Because he set the bar really high for us.
Yeah.
I want to know, just for the sake of practicality, because I'm a practical girl, what is one thing that you guys each have as a rule or a practice in your daily life to keep yourself well and healthy, to make sure that your inner world is thriving?
Let's all play that game. That's fun. First of all, I have just conditioned myself as a rule over the past 20 years to be in continual fellowship with him. So there's the intimacy thing again. But to me, I try to cultivate a constant awareness of his presence. Yeah. And that, I think, is the biggest thing. And number two, is super practical, and maybe you could call it even not spiritual, but I try to be very aware of how I influence my relationships with people. Mm. How do I say what I say? What kind of tone am I using? You know, how considerate am I of people? I told you the other day, Josh, if there's one thing I could be known for, I would love to be known for kindness. It may not be there yet, but I want to go there. I want to be there. And having that goal, you know, I have the compass pointed on that one point in the distance, that if I could set that kind of true north and just stay there, then I think that that really sets the tone for my life, you know? And so those are a couple things I do.
I think you're doing a great job, man.
Yeah, you're so kind.
It's kind of hard to self-examine, like, what a... I don't do anything
that's a
like...
good exercise.
Yeah, right. I don't do anything, like, specifically, but I do see what Holy Spirit's done in me over time. And what I realize is understanding who I am and calling a lie and just saying...
Psh. Yeah.
It's so easy to just discern when the enemy's trying to get in my biz and just say, I ain't got time for that.
Ain't no one got time for
that. Nobody got time for that.
That's when the smoke got me.
So I have a preset in my heart and my mind. I've always struggled a little bit with hope, with being slightly pessimistic and things like that. So I have a preset that I will believe and confess that God is good, and that he is good to me no matter what I think, feel, or see. So it doesn't matter, you know, if the world's falling apart around me. I refuse to allow myself to go off of that ditch into the negative land. And then the other thing is that I am trying to have that preset about other people, to just assume that everyone else is good. And I don't mean being naive, but I mean like giving everyone the benefit of the doubt.
And it's okay even if they're not. It's okay. You're not a sucker if they don't fit the bill. We're still required to treat them with goodness.
Yeah.
We overcome evil with good.
Yeah.
That's right. Just choose to believe. I choose to believe good.
That's a good word.
That's awesome. So one of the best ways to have a healthy lifestyle, to live well, is to find yourself in community. We're going to be talking in depth about that next week. Have you found your community? Kent Henry will be joining us on that program. Coming up, a little bit more with Stephen Duncan when we return.
Discover the number one biggest mistake you could be making online as a business owner. Get an exact step-by-step process for building a successful online presence. Identify solutions that will take you from where you are to where you want to be. And develop a custom roadmap for your success. Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Identity empowers businesses to thrive by offering professional web design, programming, film, video, marketing, advertising, business growth tools, and more, all based on proven strategies that work in every aspect of your brand. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're sitting down with our good friend, Papa Kent Henry. He's going to be sitting down with us once again, talking about community. Have you found yours yet? That's the topic of discussion next week on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. Today, we have been talking about living well, healthy living in the church and in your individual life, family, and community. And we're fortunate enough to have on the program with us a couple that are doing this all over the world, Stephen and Mary Elise Duncan.
All right, Stephen and Mary Duncan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey, if people have not heard of you, real quick, just give us a little backstory. Tell us who Stephen and Mary Duncan are.
Well, we are a married couple. We're living in Republic, Missouri, which is just outside of Springfield. And we've been in and out of the music industry for quite a while now. We lived in Nashville, Tennessee. I lived there for about 10 years. When we got married, we lived there for about 4 years. And we've traveled the country for the last two, training worship teams all over the country. We've been doing nights of worship, concerts, songwriting events, all kinds of things. And we just decided to put all those little pieces of the pie together, finally, so that we can really just have one idea moving forward that people can grasp onto.
Yeah, so you're talking about the Worship Coalition. We want to find out all about that. So tell us what the Worship Coalition is, your heart, and maybe some of the goals you have for it.
Yeah, so the Worship Coalition basically came out of us touring and being in church leaders' homes and realizing that there's a lot of leaders out there that are burnt out and just need somebody from the outside to talk to. And so we decided to launch the Worship Coalition to basically help the church in the bigger picture. So our goal is to get the church healthy and unified. And part of that journey will be to send pastors and worship leaders to retreat centers with counseling and reprieve just so that they can get healthy and come back to the church and help their church get healthy.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, we were on a tour. We did about 6,000 miles in a car all the way through the West. And we drove from Nashville all the way up to Denver, out to California and back. And we were staying in worship pastors' homes, business leaders who were Christians that were pillars in their communities. And one of the things we realized was that they felt alone. Mm. They felt like they were misunderstood. They felt like they didn't have any help. And so many of them, actually, while we were on that trip, one person resigned while we were staying in their home.
Wow.
And at least two other pastors were going to be putting in their resignations. And it just really opened our eyes to the challenge, the problem that's out there in the church right now, which is that leadership are out front and they're isolated and they're alone and the enemy is just beating them up. And they really want to know that somebody's out there that's got their back, that can give them a breath. And so the Worship Coalition, like Mary was saying, is kind of broken up into three different things. One of the ways that we can give them a breath and to help them refocus is through resources. So we're doing a worship record right now with Scott Cash. He's worked on Chris Tomlin records, Passion records, all that. And so we're going to be giving that record away to the church, any church that we go to. We're going to have books, we're going to have training materials, all sorts of things that we can give away to help leaders focus in on their ministries and not have to go and find things everywhere and spend a lot of time just splitting their focus, trying to find resources and then implement them. We're just going to give them the resources so that they can just implement them.
Yeah.
One of the things is, like Mary said, we're sending pastors to retreat centers so that they can take sabbaticals, them and their families. We're paying for their trip there. The retreat center is paying for their stay. And we are partnering with Christian counselors all over the world that will be donating their time to go there too. And then the last thing, look, once they have the resources and once they have that breath of fresh air and they've started that healing process, then we go back in with them and we say, look, this is now how to implement what you've learned through Christian counseling, what you've learned through the resources. And now we're going to help cast vision and move forward with you on the ground in the trenches with you.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I want you guys to touch on two things. I want to talk about, you mentioned church health and you mentioned unity. So real quick, let's talk about health real quick. What does that mean to you guys?
I would say the biggest thing that we notice church-wide is that there is a lack of healthy communication. People don't know how to talk to each other or don't talk to each other. And it's not that they don't want to, and it's not that they don't want that relationship to be good. They just don't know how to do that. And they're so focused on getting to the goal and doing what they need to do that they forget about each other in that process. And that relationship and that communication needs to come first so that it can trickle down into the rest of their congregation.
Yeah. The biggest thing that we see, I think, too, is division. Whether it's inside leadership, whether it's inside the church, or whether it's between churches. Perfect example is you look on Facebook in the last couple of weeks about Houston, and you see positive and negative articles about Joel Osteen. And yeah. On either side, the fact is 99% of us have never met the man, don't know him personally. Well, that's how I know that the church is divided right now, because we stand on either side on Facebook and we rail on each other without any kind of consideration for each other and the man that we're talking about. And it's not scriptural, you know, but it's laid out very clearly that we're to go to him first and talk to him one-on-one. And if we can't, then we get people to join us in that. And I don't think any of us have taken the time to do that. And so division is very clear. And you know what? It starts within leadership, and then it spreads out within the congregation and the communities. That's very evident. And the other thing is just breathing. Not a lot of pastors have the time or the excuse to take a breath.
Yeah.
Because every role in the church now is not just one role. It's like 10 roles, right? You have to be the youth pastor, the children's pastor, the caring pastor going to hospitals. You got to marry people, and you got to lead worship all at the same time.
And if you don't have to do that, the people that do that depend on you and your opinion and your leadership. And so you can't go away because you feel like everything's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. And so with that, then burnout happens really easily because you lose focus of the simplicity of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Rather than getting rest from the giver of all rest and creation, we seek rest in escaping through television, through social media, through more busyness.
Yeah.
Rather than actually coming to the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, coming in and laying down at his feet and actually accepting rest from him and being in his presence. And you know what? If we can't do that first as pastors, if we can't do that first as worship leaders and business owners and even just congregation members, then we've lost sight of the importance of what we're doing. Mm. And so we're just trying to get the church back focused on the true thing, which is the power of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the power of his name, and that it's his story that we're taking part in and glorifying him. And the first thing we got to do is we got to spend time in his presence.
Yeah, well said, man. We want to connect people with you guys. First of all, tell us what you need. How can we help you? How can people connect with you and help the Worship Coalition come alongside all of these leaders and churches?
Well, people don't like to hear this, Clint, but we need money. It's practical. We've got to be traveling to these churches. And one of the things that we've said is, Dustin Smith said it best when he said the sick shouldn't have to pay for medicine. And so we believe that the church shouldn't have to pay for the help it so desperately needs. If we're not charging the churches, how are we getting gas money to go? Mm-hmm. How are we getting these resources in their hands? Because that costs money. Practically speaking, we're asking for 100 families to partner with us at $30 a month and 30 churches at $100 a month. And they can go to theworshipcoalition.com to check us out, to watch our videos, to see all of our social media platforms, as well as they can donate right there at the bottom of the website on the right-hand side. They can do that too.
The other major part would be connection and getting the word out. If you know people that need what we have to offer or know people that would get behind it, then we need to know those people. We need people to know that this is available to the church. Without those connections, this will stay with the people that we know, and we feel like it's supposed to be bigger than that.
Yeah, so if you're a church, you can reach out to us too through the website, theworshipcoalition.com, and send us an email, introduce yourself, and we'd love to take a FaceTime with you or a phone call with you to just establish that connection and to see if we can come out and help you and train you or resource your church with something. I'll tell you right now, we have 5 different pastors that are already on a list to go to retreat centers. And the list is growing every single day. So really, you know, the need is out there. It's present. We just need to know about it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you guys truly have an amazing vision, huge hearts, obviously, and huge faith to do something like this. And we just commend you for your resourcefulness and your heart and your transparency in your endeavor.
Yeah. Well, and we love partnering with you, Clint. You guys are fantastic. And I think we have the same heart in helping the church. And so just let us know if there's anything that we can do to help you.
Okay. Love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
So good to have our friends Stephen and Mary on the program with us today. It's great to connect with them as always, and look forward to talking to them in the future to find out how things are going with The Worship Coalition. To find out more about them, go to theworshipcoalition.com. Next week, sitting down with Kent Henry. Have you found your community? Get into community and start taking world-changing risks together. That coming up next week on the Next Gen Worship broadcast. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.